familiar verses of scripture this morning will come from Acts, the 12th chapter. Acts 12. A lot of scripture. I'm going to read 7 through 15. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Acts 12 chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, then, said they, it is his angel. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, Lord, we ask, take us and use us to your glory. Bring the message, Lord, that it might accomplish here this morning that which you would have in the hearts of each and every one of us. We ask you, Lord, that we open our ears to the hearing. Lord, we hear what the Spirit will do. Use us now, Lord, to give glory in the name of Jesus. Quite familiar story of Peter in the prison. The prelude, I might say, to this event was with Jane. Herod, the king, he was a man, well, he liked to elevate himself in any way he could. So he took it upon himself to persecute the Christians. James was the first, and he had him beheaded. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing for any one person to wish upon another. And it's something that we can't even begin to imagine. You see the pictures and you see the old time way they had a guillotine and they made the person to bend down and put his head through the thing. Gruesome. Terrible. How one person could execute something on another one. And especially on someone innocent. On someone that was a child of God, that was a worker. But because he thought that he was being elevated a little higher than the king, he thought he was something special, that the people might follow him rather than the king, pride. But you know, see God's people executed. They want to be get rid of them. Boy, does that say something about our world today? How that the peoples of our country today would like to see God's people put down. Would like to see God's people eliminated completely. Take God out. Yes, he executed James. And the people loved it. They enjoyed it. So much the fact was that Herod then said, get Peter. So they got Peter and they put him into prison. He was next. And as he was there in that prison, in that place of judgment, you might say, we can't even begin to imagine being in prison knowing that in the morning, tomorrow, same thing is going to happen to you. Not a good thought. And Peter, as he was there in prison, the old king was wise. He was really up to snuff, we might say. Because he found him in chains. Chained his hand. Bound him tight. And he put him between two guards, one on each side of him. So that if that lad moved, they'd know it. Well, long about midnight was there about. During the night, God looked on the situation and he said, here, this is not yours. This is not your victory. No way. He sent an angel down and smote Peter on the side. He woke up. He hit him on the side. And the chains that was on him fell off. It fell off. And can you imagine what Peter was thinking? And he said, get up. Gird yourself. Put on your clothes. Put on your shoes. We're going. We're going out of this place. Yes. Believers. Get him on. He did just that. He got up. And he put on his clothes and his shoes. And he started out. Where were them guards? What was they doing? Huh? They still asleep, wasn't they? Didn't he tell me anything was happening? Yes. Help they got, and the angel said, you follow me. So they went out. They went through the first door. They went through the second door. And they came to that room, that gate. The iron gate that guards the whole place. That was the security of the whole place. For that iron gate, boy, it was tough. But you know when they got up to that gate? That gate. Right open up, and out they went. Went right out into the street. To the first street they came to, the angel left them. He said, you're on your own. Yeah, you're on your own. You're free. Go. Get. Do whatever you want to do. Yeah. So he went. He looked on the situation and he said, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe whether this was real or whether it was just a vision. He could not. But God was on the scene. Why was God on the scene? Why was God with this man, Peter? Why did he do all this for Peter? Why did he do this? Well, the rest of the story. Down the road he went his little ways. Found down there the house of Mary. What was going on in that house? They didn't have a prayer meeting. They were still having a prayer meeting. Now see, this all happened late at night. Wow, what a prayer meeting they must have been having there. This probably started when he was cast into prison in the evening and didn't quit all night. They were still praying. He walked up to the gate and he knocked. Out comes this, I can just see it now, because she knew the voice of Peter. She was no stranger to it. She knew Peter's voice. When she came out of there and heard his voice, she came out and she looked over there. Peter! She couldn't believe it. She was so excited and so shook up and whatever that she turned around and hung out back in. Didn't even let him in. She was all partner. She went back in and she told those people, Peter's out there. Can't be. Can't be. Peter's in prison. Can't be Peter. She said, you're mad. It's a vision you've seen. She knew his voice. She knew his voice. Yes. She knew his voice.
Yes.
What happened? There was a prayer meeting. There was a prayer meeting. People that were gathered together there in the house. Probably a lot like we do every Wednesday evening. We need to come in here. Chat with you, all this, that, and other thing. But when we get down to business, in our prayer meeting, we have the same opportunity that those folks did there in the house of Mary. We have the same God that they were praying to there that loosed the chain from Peter. We have that very same God with us when we meet in our prayer meetings. Yes, we have that same power through the Almighty, through Jesus Christ. We have that same power that they have. Well, you see, we're a lot like them. They prayed and prayed for something, but when it happened, they doubted. They said, you're mad. It's only a vision. Yes, no, it didn't happen, really. If God were to answer our prayers, most of the time it would scare us to death. We would absolutely flip if He answered our prayers exactly that way we asked. Yes, because they doubted. God acted on Peter's faith, not on the doubt that was at that altar. You see, when we want prayer meetings, well, I'm looking on you. We ask. We say, yes, Lord, I would love to see this, but I don't think it's going to happen. That's exactly what they said. Lord, I'd like to see Peter get out of that prison, but I don't think it's going to happen. He's too guarded. He's chained. He's laid between these guards. He's protected all around. If anything, anybody tries to get him out of there, it won't happen. Well, the guards paid the price. They lost their life for allowing that prisoner to escape. Unjustly. Yeah. They couldn't help her. They didn't even know. But they paid. Point is that the power of prayer in that particular time brought Peter out. Go back to the book of Jonah, third chapter and the fifth verse. Jonah was sent to Nineveh to deliver the message of God, that they would be destroyed, that God would destroy the city. But he was sent there, and you know the story how Jonah went the wrong way, took peace, fell by himself, God's thinking of himself, and went the other way, turned opposite direction of what he should have went. Followed by the whale, and 3 days in the belly of the whale, then he was cast out on the dry land. It took that to get Jonah in a position to do what God told him to do in the first place. How much easier would it have been for him to just done what God wanted him to do rather than take all the consequences of what went. Well, he finally did. And he went and he delivered the message that God told him to. He sent to Nineveh. He went there and he told them that God was going to destroy. And what did they do? They had a prayer meeting. Yes, they did. They had a prayer meeting. The king himself was touched. He knew that God was speaking to him, and he repented in sackcloth and ashes and turned from his wicked way, and they all prayed unto God, and God delivered them. Yes. Made Jonah angry. He didn't like it a little bit. But point is that the prayers of the people saved them. They are the ones that had the prayer meeting. They knew if they didn't repent that they were enough. They were the gone. That was the end of them. So they got down to business with God. Even the animals fasted. They all fasted. Not a drink, not a eat, nothing. They got down to business with God. Boy, I think sometimes we need to do just that. We need to get down to business with God. We'll get all our needs, probably a few moments out of the day, maybe not. And we call out to God, and we say, and then pretty soon we say, in the name of Jesus, we pray, and up we go. That's my duty. I've done her. Yep. Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. Yeah. Maybe. Sometimes, as it says over, I think it's in Matthew, that they brought somebody in to cast out demons out of them, heal the sick, and all this, that, and they couldn't do it. The disciples could not do it. They failed. Jesus told them, something comes only by prayer and fasting. He was saying, get the world out of the way, get down to business, get right to the core, get down to business with God. Well, the message this morning is very plain and very simple. When we pray, we need to get down to business with God. We need to be assured. I read to you this morning the passage of Scripture that you hear so many times, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You hear it, you've heard it from me. So many different places, different ways, ball game, what have you. If my people who are called by my name, that's you and I, that's Christians. Called by Christ's name, Christians, shall humble themselves. Yes. Get pride out of the way. Get our own feelings aside. Forget about what people says about us. Humble ourselves and pray. And most of all, to seek my faith. Yes, how long has it been since we as individuals can truly say that we stood face to face with Jesus Christ? And we were close enough in our prayers, in our spirits, we communed with Jesus Christ. We were there. Yes, sometimes it comes only by prayer and fasting. We all pray. Sinners pray. Oh my God. You hear it all the time. Oh my God. Calling upon God. From whom? We have no right to call upon God only by the grace of Jesus Christ. He takes us through. If these same people that's hollering out, "Oh my God," if they would holler, "Jesus, my Savior, take me through to the Father," then things will be changed. No. Yes. Seek my face. Wow. Face to face is taught in our Sunday school lesson this morning. No, we don't. But spiritually, we can. We can see God in everything that we do, in everything that we see. We can see God in it because He is the creator of all things. He said, "Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." That's a tough one. That's a tough one for you and I. Yes, but face it, we've all got our own little way, pet peeves that we like to do, the things that, don't mess with us, you know. I'll do this and I'll do that. You're getting too close. You're stepping on my toe. Now, back off. Give me space. I need it. Turn from our wicked ways. Put Jesus Christ first in everything that we do. I don't care what it is. If it's going up 57, watching out for those deer. Yes, we better put Christ in there. Yes, if it's Tom kicking you, hit your finger with that hammer. Yes. We better watch that too. If it's teeth burning up stuff in the oven, yeah, watch that too. We got to put Christ in everything we do. After He does it, then say, "Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you do, because I know that I can't do it on my own." Yeah. Turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven. Yes, the answer from the Almighty will come. And will forgive their sin, and most of all, and most importantly, and will heal their land. God would love to heal the United States of America. God would love to set this country straight. He would love to go into Washington and take the authorities down there by the hand. He would love to take them all and just join in a big old circle. Not one on one side and one on the other side, but put them all together in one big group together, one circle. Lay His arms around them and bless them and heal this land. He would love to do it. If my people will humble themselves and pray, what would happen? If you would turn on your television tomorrow morning and find that there in the halls of Congress and the Senate, I don't know much about it, but I do know that there's a lot of aisleways through it. There's one on this side, there's one on that side, and they don't talk to each other except holler back for it. What would happen? If you turn on your television and the cameras would come on and you'd see all these people gathered together in one big old bunch on their knees praying to God to help our country, what would happen? You'd see things happen. Yes, there wouldn't be the arguments, there wouldn't be the puzzle, there wouldn't be all this, that, and the other thing, but it would all come together in one accord under God. It would be a grand and glorious place. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, things will happen. Things will happen. It will be such a grand and a glorious place. We need to pray for that end. Yeah? We need to pray that all those people there that are arguing, fussing back and forth, ordained and perfect. That's impossible. That's impossible. It can't happen. No, it cannot happen. The chains are there. They're bound. They're chained by Satan. They're chained. They're bound. But God can break those chains, those things that are seemingly impossible for us. We need a prayer meeting. We need a good prayer meeting. If it takes all day, all night, whatever, this country needs a prayer meeting. Only God can do it. As we look on the situation, we can see infiltration coming from all sides, all cults, all false gods, all these coming in and hanging the people that are leading us. Yes. They need our prayers to get straightened out to get on the right path. We assemble ourselves, read the book in there, and make the announcements for the coming week, and we get this and that, and say, well, we're going to have Sunday school next Sunday at 9:30, and we're going to have worship service at 10:45. We're going to have choir practice 5:30 on Wednesday. Other than that, we're going to have a prayer meeting and a Bible study, and we're all going to go home. Pretty quick. Probably the most favorite part of all of this. See, probably the most favorite part of all these announcements that we make is on Wednesday night when we get out there and get the cookies and the coffee. Now, we all look forward to that. Hey, the thing this world wrong knows there is. I don't care who says there's nothing wrong with good fellowship and enjoying the table. Enjoying each other's friendship and fellowship. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't forget, the most important part of any of the services that we have, whether it's singing, whether it's in the basement, whether it's up here, or wherever it is, the most important part of anything that we can do right here at this altar, pray. That's where the power is. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we ask you, Lord, just to be with us, O God, as humble, needy little creatures. We are so slow, Father, to do what you have us to do. We are so weak and unworthy. But Lord, we pray that you will take us, O God, and you will remind us. Show us the way. Lord, there are so many good projects that are ahead of us here in this church. There are so many things, Lord, that you want us to do. And you're leading us, you're showing us a follow. And we ask, O God, that you now lead us, show us, go with us, that we can do that which you would have us do. Lord, not for numbers, not for great power, authority, just to see souls saved. To see those that might be on a road to destruction. To see them turn to you.